Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'm going to do a part two of the review of logical fallacies, because when I was preparing for part one, I saw several more that looked fascinating and also helpful for political discourse. So, buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called A Review of Logical Fallacies Part Two. Let's get started. So, before I get into any new fallacies, I would also like to give you a better example of the straw man, because my example was probably not the best. So, as a recap, the straw man is when I make a claim and then you respond by suggesting, or asking, I guess, whether I actually am suggesting something much more extreme. So, there's this old meme that says how social media works, and it says, I don't like oranges, and then it says, what about grapes and apples and bananas and papayas and so on and so forth, etc. And while that meme itself is not an example of a straw man, you could make a good example of a straw man argument from the same premise, because if I say I don't like oranges, and somebody else says, so you're saying you don't like orange fruit, so you don't like cantaloupes and peaches and papayas and tomatoes that are orange and mangoes and orange peppers and carrots, and even though carrots aren't really a fruit, I don't think, but whatever. It's an orange thing. Maybe it could even be, so you don't like orange food, whatever. That would still be a straw man argument, because I never said anything about any of those fruits except oranges. Although, full disclosure, I do like some varieties of oranges. But I just thought that was a neat example. So, with that out of the way, let's get into the new fallacies. Well, they're not new, but the ones that I did not mention in part one. So, the first of these, I generally try not to use the terminology of false religions, but this one is called often the Nirvana fallacy, and that's because it suggests that there can be one simple solution to a problem, especially a complex problem. And the problem with that thinking is that we live in a fallen world, so there is never going to be a perfect solution to anything, because everything you do is going to have some sort of trade-off. When you're trying to figure out how to solve a societal problem, or even an individual problem, you have to weigh the pros and the cons. And when you're trying to solve a societal or even a community problem, you have to think about, okay, which solution is going to benefit the most people, which one is the most moral and ethical, and which one has either the least amount of trade-offs or the most bearable trade-offs. Preferably all three. But what the Nirvana fallacy suggests is that if we just do this, then the problem will go away. So two examples of this are whenever school shootings come up, there are people who will suggest, oh, if we just take away the guns, or if we just take away the AR-15s, or if we just take away the quote-unquote assault weapons, the shootings will go away. Never mind the fact that a shooting can be carried out with an illegal gun. In fact, many shootings are carried out using guns that were obtained illegally. And that's because, newsflash, criminals are not known for following laws. That's why they're called criminals, because a criminal is one who commits a crime, and a crime is when you break the law. I know this sounds elementary, but I think some people forget this. That even if you take all the legal guns away, all you're doing is making the law-abiding citizens easier targets for those who will flagrantly or blatantly break the law, or for those who will find any loophole they can in order to break the law. So, there's that. And then when it comes to the subject of the legalization of pot, you have a lot of people who will say, oh, well, if we legalize it, everything will be great. Well, it won't be, because pot will still be addictive, it will still be a sin, and putting all that tar in your lungs will still be unhealthy for you. And it will still have side effects, and it will still make people lazier, and it will still smell like a skunk. There's still going to be all these problems with pot, even if you make it legal. And many of those are not influenced by whether it is illegal or not. In fact, when smokers get lung cancer and their lungs look like burnt hot dogs. I've seen pictures of smokers' lungs. They're pretty nasty looking. That's not usually because of the nicotine in the cigarettes, although the nicotine ain't great for your heart. But what gives them the lung cancer and the disgusting looking lungs is all the tar and all the other nastiness that's in tobacco and in cigarettes. And also another aside I'd like to mention before we get back on topic is when it comes to the whole idea of assault weapons, I have never been able to get a coherent definition of an assault weapon, because anything you use to commit assault, meaning physical, like, contact, like, even slapping somebody in the face is assault. Anything you use to physically harm another person like that, you know, that's technically assault. Anything you use for that is a weapon, even if it wasn't manufactured for the purpose of being a weapon. If you slap somebody in the face, your hand is a weapon. If you throw a pencil at somebody, that pencil is being used as a weapon. Anything can be a weapon. And since weapons are, by definition, anything that is used when committing some sort of assault on an individual, community, whatever, then technically anything can be an assault weapon. So I think the term is incoherent at best and disingenuous at worst. So there's that. And then the second fallacy is the false dilemma. The false dilemma essentially limits discourse to two paths forward, neglecting the fact that there are other views and other ways of solving a problem, or other people, in the case of, like, elections and stuff, that should be considered. Because you'll often hear this type of false dilemma, false dichotomy logic when people talk about elections, because they'll suggest, well, you can either vote for candidate A or candidate B. You can either vote for the left or the right. Completely neglecting the fact that, especially when you have a very diverse and fractious party, candidate A or B might not represent the views of the whole party, so you're not only limiting people to two parties, which is already a bad idea. I've repeatedly covered the criticisms I have of this first-past-the-post two-party system, but not only are you limiting people to two parties, you're limiting them to two people, two individuals who might not even represent the views of the whole party. So that's a false dilemma. And a false equivalence, I don't have a great example of a false equivalence, but basically it's when you try to say that two things are, like, alike, or two things are the same when they're not. And I can't think of a great example right now, but it's one of those, I know it when I see it. I guess an example could possibly be the idea that people sometimes say abortion is healthcare, because both take place in a vaguely medical-looking setting, even though in one case you're trying to save a life and in another case you're taking a life. I guess that could be a false equivalence. Euthanasia, too. You're taking a life in that case, so it's not healthcare, because healthcare, by definition, is geared towards healing people. Like, if you have a broken leg and you go and you have it set, that's healthcare. So there's that. And then the next one I want to cover is red herring. Red herring is when, you're having a discussion or an argument and somebody just brings up something that has completely nothing to do with the topic at hand at all. So an example of this would be if you and I are talking about tax policy and suddenly you start talking about Elvis. It's like, Elvis don't have much to do with tax policy. And generally, these kinds of red herrings, they tend to happen when the person who is engaging in the red herring feels that he or she is being painted in a bad light by real or imagined factors, like allegations or proven facts or whatever, or when that person realizes he or she doesn't have an argument. Honestly, I would rather you engage in a red herring than an ad hominem if you have no argument, but that's like saying I would rather break my leg than die. I mean, both are bad outcomes, because the problem with a red herring, the problem with many of these, actually, is that they confuse and distort, and we have a big problem in our rhetoric today on both sides where, if you can even say we have two sides, which I said that was up for debate in a previous episode, but for the sake of argument, even if you have two sides, the idea that both sides use rhetoric that is euphemistic or misleading or confusing, I think that's a problem. I think people need to be more open and honest about what they're actually up against or what they're actually supporting. And I feel like all the fallacies I've talked about so far, and the last one that I'll get to here in a moment, all seek to confuse or distort in some way, shape, or form. Even the Nirvana fallacy confuses people, because if people fall for that line of reasoning, then they think that, well, if we get rid of the guns, for example, there will be no more shootings. They may even think, okay, kids won't die in school anymore. Which, I wish I could say that was the case. Kids should never be dying in school. That's terrible. But, like, we live in a fallen world. So, you know, if somebody wants to go out and commit mass violence, then even if you take all the guns away, even if there are no illegal guns, if we just snap our fingers and get rid of all the guns in the world, which I hope we don't, that would be a disaster. But if we did, you would still have people out there who want to commit mass murder. And there are other methods those people could use in order to do that. They could use a knife, they could use poison gas, they could drive a truck into a crowd. I wish we didn't even have to think about these types of things, but we live in a fallen world, and there are some people out there who are genuinely evil. So, apologies for the soapbox. Now let's get to the last fallacy on our list for today. And that would be non sequitur. Non sequitur in Latin means essentially is not following or does not follow. And what it is just that. It's when somebody makes a claim that does not follow from point A to point B. I hate to use the word that you're defining in the definition of the word, but I literally don't know how else to explain this. So if I say we need to go to the grocery store because we have to do laundry, that doesn't follow. What would needing to do laundry have to do with needing to go to the grocery store? It doesn't make sense. And even in politics, people will sometimes say things that just make absolutely no sense. I'm not sure whether Joe Biden's claim we finally beat Medicare qualifies under this. Wouldn't surprise me if it does, because you're trying to figure out, you're like, okay, we finally beat, and then he says Medicare, and you're like, what? That makes no sense. So that's essentially the gist of non sequitur. It's not quite the same thing as a red herring, because at least a red herring claim is coherent, it makes sense. You can follow the actual claim, it's just not relevant to the topic at hand. Versus a non sequitur is when somebody makes a claim, and the claim itself is incoherent. It does not make sense. It is poorly crafted, at best. So, thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X at JFSCPod. You can also email us, if you feel so inclined, at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's Jesseas firesidechats@gmail.com, all one word. And feel free to pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. And if you want me to cover any more of the fallacies or anything else, if this should become a series, let me know. I also appreciate any other feedback you might have. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode, or at least found it to be more informative or food for thought. And I hope you'll come back next time. Thank you so much for listening, and have a blessed day.